Well, what an exciting day for God's people to come together and worship. Amen. Very blessed to be a part of what God is doing in our fellowship. And I appreciate so much your being here today. I'm going to invite you to turn to Psalm 128. Psalm 128. And while you're turning there, I do want to welcome our team from that went to Cuba. Thank you for being the hands and feet of Christ and serving faithfully. I've heard some brief reports and seen pictures, and so I'm excited to hear a full report, and we're thankful that you're back safely. Also, we want to welcome Ashley and Amy and the kids. Thank you for venturing here today. They came, they received the award, I'm sure, for coming the furthest to church today. They came all the way from the Charlotte area. They did come in last night, and today officially is Ashley's day with us as our next-gen pastor. And so, brother, we're excited you're here and your family as well, and just look forward to what God's going to do in and through the life of the service and the ministry we share together as a church family. I do want you to know I'm a little bit under the weather. I'm dealing with some of the elements that some of you deal with sometimes. And so, actually, it's always expected that if the pastor can't complete the sermon, you just step right up in the middle of that, okay? All right. That's that anything else clause, right? We are excited and thankful that you're here. And then I also want to recognize one other of our church family that's very special to this fellowship, and that's Mr. Tom Balcom. We had hoped that Mr. Tom would be able to be with us today. Mr. Tom is 97 years old, and over 60 years he's been a teacher of God's Word in our fellowship, and we are so thankful. If we talk about families, there are a lot of families that have invested into the life of this ministry. You know, I was thinking as we were worshiping this morning, God takes us through seasons. And I would characterize the most recent season that God has taken us through as a season of winter. But you know what follows winter? It's spring. And some of you are wondering on the calendar from a weather perspective if spring's really going to get here. And it will come. And I just believe that God is transitioning us as a church family into a spring season where we're going to see some amazing things that God's going to do in our fellowship. And I believe one of those things is today. And so we're thankful for that. And I am so thankful for Mr. Tom's faithfulness in his service. And I would just encourage you, maybe send him a note, let him know that you're thinking about him and praying for him. I can tell you he does not like attention, but sometimes we just need to give each other attention, don't we? Encouragement, that's what we need. We need to give encouragement. So we are thankful for Mr. Tom's ministry today. You know, the first institution that God established was the family. So I think it goes without question that family is very important and on the mind and the heart of God. God established three institutions, the first being the family. He established government, and he established the church. And you've heard me say through the years that given time, man has messed up all three. And we live in a day and time, a fallen state, if you will. And if we're not diligent and careful as God's people to follow and look at God's design for all three, then we'll be a part of the problem rather than a part of the solution. But I believe that it all begins at home. It all begins with a solid home environment in which a family can be reared. Now, I want to acknowledge this morning that today we have different types of situations in the home. We have blended families. We have single parent families. We have homes that are made up of singles. And I want you to know this morning that my prayer for you, regardless of what may be descriptive of your home, is that it is exactly that. It is a home. That when you leave this place, you will be going home. And I've entitled this message, Home Sweet Home. How would you characterize your house? You know, there's a huge distinction between a house and a home. And God wants families to be reared in homes. And today I want us to look at Psalm 128, a psalm that speaks about how that house can become home. The psalm writer says in verse 1, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. Your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord blesses you out of Zion. And may you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be unto Israel." Home sweet home. How does a house become a home? And again, I want you to take this message today from where you are, not where you've been. All of us have a past, right? Tony Evans basically says there's the good, the bad, and the ugly. In my life, there's the good, the bad, and the ugly. In your life, there's the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good is associated with those things that are related to my relationship with Christ and my walking with Christ. The bad is associated with those things where I say, "God, I've got this," and go off on my own and make a mess of things. It's called sin, where I have to seek God's forgiveness and restoration in my life. And then the ugly that is in all of our lives is associated with the bad choices of someone else. That someone else made a bad choice, and as a result of that, it impacts me. And so we all in our past, we have the good, we have the bad, we have the ugly. I want you to hear this message today from this day moving forward. There's an expression I have used throughout my years in ministering. It's okay to be where you are. It's not okay to stay there. If you're here today without a relationship with Jesus Christ, we understand that. We've all been there. But you can't stay there. You need to move in an understanding of what it means to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And whatever your situation may be, recognize the fact that God has more that He wants to do in your life and in my life. And so today I want us to walk through these verses in Psalm 128 and answer this question. What makes a house a home? What makes a house a home? Now, if you look at these first two verses, they're general statements. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. And so I want to say in a general way, blessed is every man. Blessed is every woman. Blessed is every student. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord. And then he goes on and he says in verse 2, "When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy and it shall be well with you." But then in verse 3, it becomes specific. He's talking to husbands. And the reality of it is, I believe this Psalm 128 is for husbands. Not every person here, not every man here is a husband. And certainly not every person here is a husband. So I want you to understand that he begins in a general sense. And the truth and the principle applies across the board to everyone. But in just a moment, it's going to transition from a general challenge to a more specific challenge, which I believe is consistent with God's plan for the family. The first thought I want us to look at in regards of what makes a house a home is when the Lord is the focus of the parents. When the Lord is the focus of the parents. Now let me say again, in a general sense, I have specifically chosen parents to be the object of this challenge. But again, recognize, you could say, when the Lord is the focus of the man, when the Lord is the focus of the woman, when the Lord is the focus of the student or of the single, it's for everyone. But the first thing that the psalm writer is pointing out in regards to the fact of that house, that dwelling becoming a place of encouragement, a place of comfort, a place of challenge, is when the Lord. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we'll pick up next week on this series of messages on I Am. And we looked a couple of weeks ago in the book of Exodus where Moses asked the Lord, when they ask your name, who do I tell them sent me? How do I answer when they ask your name? You remember it was Yahweh. I Am, translated to the Hebrews, is Yahweh. Yahweh means Lord. And I want to remind you that when you see the word Lord capitalized in Scripture, that is I Am. You could read it this way: blessed is everyone who fears the I Am, the Lord. In regards to the fact that the Lord is governing in my life, the Lord is supreme in my life. And so he says, blessed is everyone who fears. Now, spend just a moment giving consideration to what he means by fears. He's not talking about being scared of him. He is talking about an attitude of awe. He's talking about an attitude of reverence. He's talking about an attitude of respect. Again, Tony Evans and a couple of you men have recently gone through a Kingdom Man study with me. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, we're going to start a second class on April the 24th at 7:30. For any guy that wants to be a part of this and you can't make it at 6:15, we're starting at 7:30. And a lot of what I'm sharing with you this morning is coming out of that series. But Tony Evans says this, because we talk about fearing the Lord, what does that mean? And he summarizes it this way. Fearing the Lord means to take Him seriously. To take Him seriously. Blessed is everyone who takes the Lord seriously. Seriously. I think if we're honest today, we're not taking the Lord as serious as we should. When it comes to His Word, when it comes to His truth, comes to that of living out our lives according to the dictates of His Word, rather than our culture, or rather than our feeling and our emotion, but rather based on truth. And a home, or a house, becomes a home when those who occupy it begin to focus on the Lord, to take Him seriously. Again, in our study that we started a couple of weeks ago, we pointed out Psalm 9, verse 10. Those who know Your name will put their trust in You. And I am convinced if we truly know Him, His name, what it means, then we'll take Him seriously. If God is some image that we've conjured up in our minds and our hearts, then we can just pull Him out when we need Him. But when we see and recognize the Lord Almighty for who He is, there's a sense of awe that takes seriously His Word and His truth. Again, the psalm writer points out the proper name of God, Yahweh, translated in the English, Lord. It means ruler. It means authority. And when a family's focus is on the Lord, they take Him seriously. And the Lord will transform that house into a home. He says blessed. The word blessed means happy. It doesn't just mean happy. It means happy, happy. A blessed place to go to. and whatever makes up, whether it's a mom and a dad and children, or whether it's a single parent and children, or if that blended family, or that single, is that house a happy place? A place that people look forward to go to rather than dread. This is in Psalm 127 where this is shared. It's, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. It's meaningless. So what does it look like to take the Lord seriously? And you see the answer to that in the latter part of verse 1. Who walks in His ways. And my goodness, we live in a day and time of plurality where there are multiple ways. Even when it comes to God, there are multiple gods. We're all, you know, you believe like you want to believe, I believe like I want to believe, and we're all going to get there based on what we believe. You're going to be disappointed. We're going to be disappointed. There's not multiple ways. There's one way. And it's the Lord's way. L, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. It is the Lord. It is Yahweh. It is His ways. And a home that is focused on the Lord. And then he goes on and says, who walks. That word walk means a lifestyle. A pattern. It is a customary pattern or lifestyle of those that are over that home that are walking in His ways. And so when the Lord's ways are the gold of the parents, that house transforms to a home. Proverbs 16:25 says there's a way that seems right to a man. And my goodness, you can see that being lived out today in our culture. But the end is a way to death. It leads to destruction. To follow Christ, we must learn to say no to ourself, to our will, so we may do His will. And for a lot of us, even for me, it's to say no to what is good so I can be about what is best. Let me tell you something, for families today, there's a lot of things that's jockeying for your interest, for your time. There's a lot that's out there that you can commit yourself to invest in the life of your children. In and of themselves, that may be good things, but in the end, is it best? And is it consistent with God's ways? A second thing that I want you to see is the blessings of home. When that house becomes a home, there are some basic blessings that are associated with it. And the first is simply this. Basic needs are met. Basic needs are met. Verse 2, when you eat the labor of your hands. There's a key word there, labor. Work. Folks, work is an opportunity. Work is a blessing. You know, we go back to the fall and we see that work is a part of the curse. Now, there was work before the curse. What was brought from the fall is that in the work now there's weeds. But there was work before. And we need to see and understand that God provides the opportunity for work for our basic needs to be met. Again, one of the satisfactions of a Christ-centered home is that the blessings of honest work provides for that family. There are two distinct paths when we talk about our stewardship, if you will. Whether it's the stewardship of our time or our talents or our monies. But there are two different paths. Haggai chapter 1, verse 6. Listen to this. I'm sure I'm not the only one in here this morning that can relate to this. You have sown much and harvested little. You eat, but you never have enough. You drink, but you never have your fill. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages does so to put them into a bag with holes. Here's the way we say it. It goes from this hand to your hand, right? And it's just a constant, thing of trying to obtain so that we can keep our head above water. And we're trying to provide all these materialistic things that our children. Let me tell you, my mom, who's with the Lord, she passed last spring. She was 90 years old. And she used to tell me as a child she got a toothbrush for Christmas and was tickled to death. I never thought of a toothbrush to ask for at Christmas. We get caught up into this thing of trying to obtain so we can provide. But what are you providing? And Haggai describes it clearly by the fact that you sow, and the more you sow, the less you have. And that last expression, he who earns wages does so and puts them into a bag with holes. It just continues to flow out. But a different path found in Matthew 6, verse 30. If God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you have need of them. And here is the key to all of this. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things will be added unto you. And so if you come back to verse 1, blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who takes God seriously. Blessed is the one who will seek God first. And just as God took care of the sparrow, just as God took care of the lily of the fields, God will take care of his own. Now, I'm not one of these name it and claim it preachers, all right? This isn't about getting what you want. It's about God providing your needs. And he may provide them in a different way than what you would expect him to provide them. Blessed, happy is the home. And one of the benefits of a home that is focused on the Lord, the blessing comes is that they have their basic needs met. And then the second blessing of that is the family will align with the Lord. The family will align with the Lord. Now this is where it becomes more specific. He says in verse 3, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine. In the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord, who takes the Lord seriously. And so what the psalm writer is pointing out is that there is an alignment in which God has established within the house that becomes a home. Now again, you've got to take this truth and apply it where you are in the situation, the circumstances that you are in. If you are a single parent, and in particular if you're a single mom, you have to take that in consideration. And I'm going to help you do that, I trust, in just a moment. But let's look at family that has a dad in place. And it may be a blended situation, but there's a father, a husband, there's a mother, and a wife. In a sense, and those two people play two roles, and then there's the children. And in that, there is alignment. Paul gives us that alignment in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. Now I want you to think about aligning yourself, men. You must align yourself. And again, this would be true in a general sense, whoever you may be, but within specific context of speaking of family, that the husband is to align himself with the Lord. And so I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. The head of a wife is her husband, and the head of Christ is God. Now, this is not a very popular thought in our culture today, particularly when we're trying to become genderless. When we're just saying that everyone is equal. I will submit to you, everyone is equal in value. But if you get this alignment that God designed, remember, His ways, not mine, not the culture's. If you get this alignment wrong, you'll have a mess. Walk into our schools today. We have a mess. Look into our culture today. We have a mess. It's because we've got this out of line. But just because the world's out of alignment, folks, doesn't mean the church should be out of alignment. And we've got to begin at home. It has to happen in my home and in your home. And we've got to get things in alignment according to God's design if you want God's blessing. Headship. That's what 1 Corinthians 11:3 is teaching. I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. The head of a wife is her husband. And the head of Christ is God. Headship. It is a biblical principle. It's not an opinion. It's God's way. It's God's design. So we see, first of all, and let me back up. Headship speaks of governing authority for the advancing of the kingdom of God and for kingdom purposes. Now, a lot of men like to leave it at governing authority, right? I'm in charge. Lord, help all of us if you're in charge. Your headship is directly related to kingdom work and kingdom purposes. And all this, let me ask you, if there's a problem in the alignment, if you go back and you see at the head of Christ is God, has Christ ever been out of line with the Father? That's not the problem. If something's messed up, it's not there. Because the Son has perfectly aligned Himself under the Father. You know where I'm going, guys. Where does the problem lie? If that father, if that husband is not aligned underneath Christ, it messes it up. I don't have time to speak about the crisis in our nation as a result of absent fathers, absent husbands. But let me tell you something. Adam was present, but what was he doing? He's being passive. I mean, if you go back to the fall, and let me point this out to you. When the fall took place and God went looking, He didn't go look for Eve. Who did He go look for? He went and looked for Adam. Because Adam was given the governing responsibility of the kingdom work, the kingdom purposes. Now, when he found Adam, Adam said, God, that woman you gave me. But that didn't work. It didn't work. Can't stress enough, particularly in our day and time, how urgent it is that men who name Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior also live underneath His Lordship. That He is Lord in your life. A husband or a father aligns with the Lord. You see in verse 4, blessed thus shall the man be, or behold, that thus shall the man be blessed who takes the Lord seriously, who fears the Lord. Now let me just say this. If there is a wife here whose husband is not aligned under Christ, you're not expected to align yourself under him. You are to align yourself under Christ. There is but one Lord. And as your husband aligns himself with the Lord Christ, you are to align yourself with him, and the two become one in rearing and in living out God's word for your family. But if there is a husband who is not aligned under Christ, your Lord is Christ, and you're to align under him. Now, you may have a husband that's an unbeliever, and that's another thing. There are those things that you are to work with him on and so forth. And basically, Peter says, love him in such a way that he'll see the quality and the attributes of Jesus Christ in your life by some desire that God's Spirit would draw him in that relationship. But there are many, many homes where a husband is a professing believer, but he is unaligned or out of line with Christ. And I want you to know, from what I understand about Scripture, we're all to be aligned under Christ. So let's go back and look at that design that God has given us. That when the husband aligns himself with the Lord, then the wife, in verse 3, aligns herself with her husband. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. She'll flourish. By God's design, she'll flourish. She'll grow. She'll become what God intended for her to do, as you provide a home where the Lord is the focus. And then the last thing, that children are to align with their parents. Look at the latter part of verse 3. In the very heart of your house. And then it says, your children like olive plants all around the table. He's talking about an environment where the wife is flourishing as she aligns herself underneath a husband who is following the ways of the Lord. And he's talking about children that will flourish and grow and mature. Those olive plants will have deep roots that one day will be trees that will produce fruit. And children are to align with their parents. Ephesians 6, verse 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. There's that title again. For this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. And I want to ask you a question. Where is this to take place? Where is it that this teaching is to take place? In the home. But look in the psalm, where at in the home? Around the table. Around the table. When a family has pushed back from the responsibilities of the day and they take time to sit down and share a meal and have an opportunity to talk about the activities of the day, to have gospel-centered conversations around the table. I can remember as a child, and my mom worked outside of the home in my early years as growing up. We had two meals a day around the table. Breakfast, and y'all call it dinner, but I call it supper. At least. And it wasn't a Pop-Tart. The idea of a family today having one meal a day together around the table is becoming foreign. I dare say our children would not even know what we were talking about. But that's a blessed time and a place for families to come together and share a meal. And with that, have gospel conversations. A mom and a dad instructing and discipling their children. Use that time to talk of the day's events. Use that time for a family devotion, prayer. Use that time to have gospel conversations. And then the last thing I want you to see is that the impact of a home. Why is this so important? The impact of a home. He says, "The Lord bless you out of Zion. May you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children. Peace be unto Israel." When a husband is aligned underneath Christ, the wife aligned under her husband, and the children aligned under the parents, there's a positive impact that the family will have. First of all, it's upon the church. He says, "There the Lord bless you out of Zion." Zion was a place for the Israelites. And let me just back up and say this. It was a strange thought to a Jewish father and husband to send his family to the synagogue. It wouldn't even cross his mind. It was a strange thought to a Jewish father whether or not he would go and lead his family to the synagogue. And so within this context, it says, "The Lord bless you out of Zion." And the Israelites, Zion was a place where they met. There was Mount Zion. Jerusalem was referred to as Zion. There's a part of the temple that could be referred to as Zion. But Zion was a place where Israelites met to be reminded that they were a covenant people, that they had a covenant relationship with God. They met with people who thought alike, acted alike, viewed life alike, because they lived under the same king and belonged to the same kingdom. So where is that for us today? It's the church. Our Zion is the local church. Blessing will come from that local church as a result of your family and my family aligning ourselves under the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you align your family under Christ and I align my family under Christ, and we act alike and we think alike and we're serving alike, and our likeness is found in the likeness of Jesus Christ, there is blessing that's associated with that. And then a second blessing is upon the community. Look what he says happens. "The Lord bless you out of Zion, and may you see the good of Jerusalem." And so the blessing begins in Zion, as we make application today, in the local church, and then it expands to the community. The good of Jerusalem. Kingdom families will be a blessing to the communities. And I would submit to you the fact that there is a fellowship that is planted right here in our community called First Baptist Church Garner, is that we should be a blessing to our town. We should be a blessing to our community. But it begins with a husband who aligns himself underneath the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And a wife that comes and aligns herself. And again, you've got to make application. If you're a single parent, don't dismiss this. You have to start where you are and align yourself underneath Christ. And then the last thing, it will be a blessing upon the generations. He says, "May you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Yes, may you see your children's children." That's talking about grandchildren. And it'll be a blessing upon the generations. This impact will be for generations to come. We're speaking of grandparents. We're speaking of parents. And we're speaking of children. And it's not been too long ago that we as a body of believers did a study out of 1 John. And I want to remind you that John was writing to the third generation. John was writing to those that would be the age of his grandchildren. If you remember anything of that study, I will point out to you that normally, if you follow a standard practice among the generations, you'll have grandparents who have convictions. Their children will have belief. There's a digression here. Watch it. There is conviction, which means I will not compromise this. There is belief, which says this is what I believe. But then belief with a third generation becomes opinion. And everybody has one. And John was writing to that third generation and telling them, I want you to know this thing of Jesus Christ is not something I heard, it's something I've experienced. I have seen Him with my eyes, I have heard Him with my ears, I have touched Him with my hands. I am telling you firsthand. And when a family aligns itself, it becomes a blessing to its church, and that church becomes a blessing to its community, and that church becomes a blessing, its community becomes a blessing to the generations, where there's conviction found both in parents or grandparents, parents, and children. But it all starts on being properly aligned with Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. I shared with you earlier, it's okay to be where you are. It's not okay to stay there. And there are some men here today that need to align themselves with Christ. Some possibly for the very first time. Others that have become distracted by life. But I want you to know that God will take you where you are and He'll lead you to where you need to be. Man, are you at a place where you're ready to say, God, I can't do this on my own. And I need your help. Right where you're sitting, you can just call out to Jesus Christ. You know, I read an article not too long ago that we've risked the danger of misleading a lot of folks by just saying, here, say this prayer. Say this prayer. You say this prayer and you're in. You're good. But I'm going to tell you, it's a heart that God's looking at. If my words and my life and my walk is not consistent with His ways, then I'm out of alignment. And today you can resolve that and you can get back in proper alignment with the Lord. If you've never given place to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can just simply say, Lord, I've made a mess and I'm tired of it and I don't know what to do about it, but today I'm turning to You and I need Your help. And God's Word says if you call out to Him in faith and trust, He'll hear and answer that prayer. And then as you get your life aligned with Christ, that whoever you have that you influence, you may be a single man, but you have influence. You have a sphere of influence, a sphere of influence somewhere. You seek to get those relationships aligned with the Lord. Ladies, I would challenge you today, if you have a husband who needs encouragement to walk with Jesus Christ, pray for him first. Don't say a word to him until you've prayed for him. Don't you go to him and say, do you hear what Travis said today? You pray for him. You give him over to the Lord. And you encourage him. And as you see him aligning his life with the Lord Jesus Christ, you align your life with his. And parents, it is your God-given blessing and responsibility that your children are aligned to Christ. And if they follow you, as they align themselves with you, will they be following Christ? And even for those of us who have adult children, our relationship is much different, but we're not finished parenting. We just need to make sure our talk and our walk measure up. If you're single, whether you're a man or a woman, the whole emphasis of that dwelling place becoming a welcoming place begins with the focus on Jesus Christ. Who will you welcome, even as a single, who will you welcome into your place? And will they sense the presence of the Lord? Will they know that you're a follower of Christ simply by the interaction? Blessed is everyone who takes God seriously. Would you take a moment just to pray? Father, I thank you for home. Father, I thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your mercy and grace. Lord, I thank you that you take us where we are to lead us to where we need to be. And may we realize that the Christian life is a journey. And Father, that journey will take us into our eternal home. Bless each one here today. And I pray that they'll leave here challenged as well as encouraged to align their life and their relationships under your headship as Lord. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.